Love and Relationships, Chapter 4. True relationship comes when we can be with others without being ruled by our points of view. It means living in the oneness we all share, the pure awareness which includes and transcends all differences and sees everyone as its own self. Our natural state is to love and be loved. However, the only way to truly love is to enter the total love of one's own pure being and to live in that. It is this love that allows us to accept everything about ourselves just as we are, letting us see the inherent perfection in all that appears without needing to change any of it. When we are in tune with the perfection of our own being, we will see that same perfection in everything, and unconditional love will naturally flow. This is how we are able to truly love ourselves and thereby love others. Until then, all the talk about love is just a story. Often, we look for love by trying to contrive what looks like love and by arranging loving appearances, but this rarely leads to anything like true love. How can we know what love is unless we're familiar with our own awareness, which is the source of true love? Until we gain confidence in our true nature, we'll have a description or some ideas about love, but never know what love truly is. Often we try to love by imitating what we think love is, including doing certain things we hope will bring us love. Implicit in this is the hope that others will love us and the fear that they will not. In that case, the entire relationship is based on hope and fear. We are hoping that love will happen and fearing that it won't. We feel that we are lacking love and we need the other person to love us so we can get the love we want. What's more, we make our love conditional upon their love by thinking that unless they love us and show their love in certain ways, we won't be able to love them. Well, that's a total misunderstanding of what love truly is. When we begin to gain familiarity with awareness, our relationships with people change because our relationships become unconditional. Having found wholeness within ourselves, we're no longer looking for someone else to fill a void, and our love will flow from that place of wholeness without needing to ask anything in return. As we rest, we find in a very natural way that the relationships we've had all along no longer look the way they once did. For example, within our family of origin, we may have had a lot of psychological labeling about who did what to whom, and how we ended up being such and such because of what they did. When we gain familiarity with awareness, we discover the aspect of ourselves that has never been hurt by anyone or any experience. We then start to see these same people in a new way. Wow, what do you know? They're just like me. When we no longer need to blame anyone, we find tremendous compassion and a connection that we've never had before. Previously, we may have felt that we needed something from people, but now we know that we don't. Maybe we thought they owed us something, but now we know they don't. In fact, we don't need anything from anyone to make ourselves whole, for we already are whole. This principle holds true in all relationships, whether they're long-term intimate relationships or brief encounters we have while walking down the street. We don't require anything from anyone, nor do we need for people to match up with our ideas of who we think they are or should be, and therefore we are able to see everything and everyone as equal and perfect in their own way. This doesn't mean that we act foolishly. Rather, our actions flow from total wisdom. We enter into some situations and not into others. This happens in an effortless way. We're not locked into fixed ideas like, that person is bad, or this is no good, or I always do this, or I couldn't possibly do that. We see things clearly as they are, and no matter what happens, we rest, and from rest we know what to do. That is the mastery over the illusion of points of view, wherein all points of view are outshone by awareness. This mastery leads to a joyous and enormously beneficial life. Until then, life is fraught with uncertainty because of the perceived need to maintain certain relationships, ways of being, and approaches to life in order to feel comfortable and safe. It's only when comfort and safety are thrown completely out the window and everything is allowed to go pell-mell and helter-skelter that the natural order of things is recognized and everything is seen to be timelessly free. Only then is true stability gained. When we're resting as love, we come to see how everything within us is equal and fully pervaded with love. All our thoughts, emotions, and experiences are the equalness of this love. When we know this about ourselves, then we automatically know this about other people too. We know that they experience the same things we do and are made of the same essence as we are. This recognition is very, very important because it allows us to love in an extremely powerful way without any conditions. When we love ourselves and others in this way, then our relationships are simply about being of benefit to each other. We find there's a free, natural relationality that is entirely joyous, filled with love, and always fresh. When there's that kind of freedom in a relationship, it's a real delight. When we become established in awareness, we see how to relate to everyone and everything in an easy and natural way. When we rest with all the circumstantial appearances in our own mind, we come to understand ourselves and others completely. One instantaneous and immediate benefit of that understanding is that we have an intuitive knowledge of everyone else. We see that the people whom we had thought to be wrong, bad, or better than us are really not at all different from ourselves. We come to deeply and compassionately understand others. We can see that just as we had been taking ourselves to be all of our points of view, other people have been doing the same thing, and we know how painful that is. Naturally and spontaneously, we learn to relate to ourselves in a way that's completely easeful and non-harming, and we then know how to relate to others in that way as well. The more we rest as awareness for short moments repeated many times, the more likely it is that we'll be able to make positive changes in our relationships that might have seemed impossible before. We may have had very acrimonious relationships with others for decades, but through resting, we find that we're looking at exactly the same person who's doing exactly the same thing they've always done that was so irritating, annoying, and just plain wrong, and now none of it matters. We're able to be with them in an easeful way while at the same time knowing exactly what to do and how to act. When we see who we are, then we see who everyone is, and we feel close to everyone in a natural way. We find that we're willing to be emotionally intimate with others, not out of some kind of contrived effort, but in a very natural way. When there's no need to try to change oneself anymore, then there's no need to try to change anyone else, even though we may have been trying our whole lives to change other people to make the world all right. Some of us have really been trying to do that, haven't we? However, when we don't need to change people anymore, then we can enjoy them thoroughly, no matter who they are. In the past, we may have been accustomed to forming relationships with partners, husbands, wives, friends, and co-workers based entirely on matching points of view. We think, these are my points of view. Let me know what your points of view are, and if your points of view match my points of view, then we can decide if there's a relationship. Typically, we only want to have people who agree with our points of view as our friends. If we decide to get married or partner with someone, not only do we want to have someone who agrees with our points of view, we want someone who loves our points of view. However, the infatuation with one another's points of view generally only lasts for a short while. Have you noticed that? After some time, we'll want to change their points of view, and they'll want to change ours. Most of us have seen this played out in romantic relationships, and many people have seen it happen several times over the years. When we first get together with a romantic partner, everything is fantastic. It feels so good. We think there will never be anything better. We feel like we're the luckiest person on earth. We want to be together with our beloved all the time, and we don't want to spend a moment apart. We see our beloved and feel sure they're the one for us. No one has ever been so wonderful. We have all these tremendous feelings come up in us, and we think it's because of the other person, but that's where our error lies. We think that this intense love is due to the object of our love, rather than recognizing its source within ourselves. We then run to the object of our love, cling to it, and say, "Be with me forever, and I will feel this love forever." But what happens? Since we haven't recognized its true source, after some time the love starts to disappear. And because we've attributed the arising of the love to the other person, when it disappears, we blame the disappearance on the other person and ask them to change in some way. In all likelihood, they'll respond by blaming us and asking us to change. Well, this is all just too painful to bear. We usually try to regain the original experience of love somehow, but we find that no matter what we do, it's impossible to regain the intense feelings of love we had in the beginning. These are very painful points of view in which we attribute external causes and results to everything that happens. We say to the other person, "Well, I think you need to change." However, what's really behind that is that we want the love to return, and we think their behavior is an obstacle to that. In a kind of ambivalent, mixed-up way, we're saying, "If you change, then the love will return. If you stop talking that way to me, or if you'll just put a towel down when you get out of the shower so I don't have to walk through that puddle every time you take a shower, or if you would just peel the potatoes my way instead of your way, then the love will return." We all know what this is like because we've been through it. This kind of behavior is epidemic, isn't it? When we look at it in such a clear way, it becomes humorous, but when we're lost in it, it's not humorous at all. Expecting relationships to provide the undying love we seek is really a dead end. Whether it's a relationship with an intimate partner or a child or whoever it might be. The love we seek is already within us. In fact, it is the fundamental condition of what we are. When we live in the pure awareness that is always present within us, we'll be able to love unconditionally, no matter how our partner or others behave. We all want to experience this love. Somehow we know that it is our birthright. However, if we don't feel it within ourselves, then we'll always be looking for it. We'll look for it in our personal relationships, in the organizations we join, and in the connections we have with the world around us. But because we look outside ourselves, our hopes of finding it are dashed time after time. We need to recognize that when we fall in love and have that tremendous opening that love brings, the love we're experiencing is not created by an object outside ourselves. That love is our true nature, and it is always within us. To fall in love is a very powerful experience because it gives us a direct introduction to the true nature of our own being. This is the magical, miraculous thing about falling in love. It introduces us to who we really are. When we fall in love, everything is so great and everyone looks so wonderful. Well, when we rest as awareness, that same feeling is available all the time. When we rest imperturbably, then our clear seeing starts to penetrate everything, and we see that love is not created by something outside ourselves, but is what we are. Forever free awareness has never been made into anything, and yet includes everything. If we relax, the complete indivisibility of everything and the love inherent in it become more and more obvious to us. There's nothing sweeter than effortlessly resting as love, seeing that love in everyone and every experience, and letting perfect love flow through us to all. That is what is offered through the way of rest. Question. I'm having a lot of trouble relating to my partner, who is often so incredibly unreliable and inconsiderate. For instance, 3 times in a row, he failed to turn up for an engagement with me. I sometimes just want to say screw you to him and be done with the whole thing. What can I do about such strong negative emotions toward my partner? Candace. First of all, if you think a thought like screw you regarding your partner, remember that it's just another point of view. It's not really a meaningful statement about anyone or anything. It's an ephemeral point of view that's equal to every other point of view. It's not a judgment set in stone. It's a passing wisp of nothing. Like a line drawn in water, it will disappear of its own accord, and the awareness that is the reality of both you and your partner remains unaffected. So you don't have to beat yourself up about having that thought. Often people think that when they realize awareness, they'll never have thoughts like screw you, and they'll never say things like that again. They think their words and thoughts will be always rosy and sweet. But this is just more splintering and fragmenting of everything. All words are completely equal, no matter what they are. As you begin to rest more and more as awareness, you might eventually have moments when your mind is raging with everything you've ever wanted to say. You total idiot! I can't stand living with you! I'm going stark raving mad because of all these things you've done to me! Or you might all of a sudden be flooded with every mental picture you've ever had of doing harm to people, or you might have sexual fantasies that you've been trying to hold at bay and never wanted to think about. All these thoughts could be flashing through your awareness, but to the extent that you're established in rest, you'll be laughing because you realize that all of them are completely equal. You may have been trying to selectively hold all these terrible things away from the pristine niceness of awareness. Yet through profound rest, you see that they're all equal and ultimately have no capacity at all to cause you or anyone else harm or pain. This is the birth of compassion. Seeing that all points of view and all conduct are equal opens the floodgates of love, wisdom, and energy. This understanding ensures that we can move beyond a lifestyle of petty emotional reactivity. A lot of us not only feel victimized by people, but also by circumstances in general. We think that certain things are probably going to happen to us that will cause us to suffer, and so we end up creating suffering for ourselves, usually on a daily basis. When we think something is happening to us that makes us suffer, then we are indeed a victim of our own thoughts. We've made ourselves a victim to all these points of view we have about ourselves. First, we believe we have a personal self. Then we believe that the well-being of that self is dependent on other circumstances, whether people treat us nicely and respectfully, whether they turn up for their engagements with us, and whether events go according to our wishes. We subtly or overtly base our well-being on all these circumstances. But when we begin to enjoy resting in all-encompassing awareness and the wonderful feeling of relief that comes with that rest, then we start to see that we're not at the whim of anything. With that, we gain a tremendous indwelling confidence. We know that we're all right with whatever appears. It doesn't matter whether it's a thought, emotion, sensation, serious illness, injury, or even death. Whatever it is, we know we're going to be okay. We know our true being is changeless, timeless, and forever free. We come to experience that all points of view that appear within awareness naturally vanish of their own accord, causing no harm and leaving no trace. And that includes the point of view of death. Points of view are their own undoing and are free in their own place. Nothing needs to be said, done, or noticed about them. In fact, there's no one to notice them. There's only awareness with its own appearances. One instant, it's the awareness of being somebody. The next instant, it's the noticing. And the next instant, it's the object being noticed. But all these are merely points of view within awareness. When we gain familiarity with that, then indwelling confidence and certainty come about, and we're able to be in all circumstances without impediment. We find we no longer need to avoid relationships with others, for everyone is seen as equal. We're established in the perfect love that is our true connection with everyone. Question. I'm interested that you mentioned avoiding relationships because I feel I do that much of the time. Can you speak a little more about that? Candace. True relationship comes when we can be with others without being ruled by our points of view. It means living in the oneness we all share, the pure awareness that includes and transcends all differences and sees everyone as its own self. Unconditional love and infinite respect for everyone naturally arise when we rest as awareness. That is real relationship. If we are degrading or demeaning people, ignoring, criticizing, or hating them, gossiping about them, being patronizing towards them, or excluding them, any of these could be considered avoidance of relationship. Taking our points of view to be real limits recognition of awareness, and this limited recognition of awareness can affect our relationships with other people. By holding to some points of view and rejecting others, we end up excluding and judging other people. When we rest as awareness, we no longer need to do that. Everyone is included in the limitless circle of our love. In the past, we may have caused harm to others based on holding to our points of view, whether it was with our parents, siblings, friends, extended family, or co-workers. In the 12 Inquiries teaching, there is a wonderful opportunity to look into how we have been harmful and how we can make direct changes in relationships so that we no longer harm ourselves or others. We see directly how we've used our points of view to avoid relationship with others, and then we commit to making positive changes in those relationships. The 12 Inquiries are a tremendous support. Question. I know that these days there's a lot of talk about the unity of humankind and the coming together of all people, and I wonder if you have any thoughts as to whether there can ever be true unity among nations and the various peoples of the world. Candace. Something that's tremendously important to all of us today is this idea of the unity of everyone. We're all one is common parlance these days, and that's good. Lots of songs have lyrics based on it, and lots of people talk about it. Along with that idea, there is also often a belief that there's going to be this special date in the future when the world will experience a dramatic event and everyone will be unified. We all hunger for this oneness and for world peace. We want it so much. And we don't just want to talk about it. We really want to know the reality of it. We know it's true. We know we're all one, but we want that oneness to come about in our own experience in a permanent and decisive way, rather than just as occasional thoughts, lines from songs, or warm and fuzzy feelings of oneness which arise for a moment and then rapidly fade and disappear. We want the real oneness, the oneness of complete, unbridled wisdom and compassion. We want that to be a lived and direct experience for ourselves. That oneness can only come about through the power of resting the mind completely for short moments, repeated many times until it becomes automatic. This enables seeing the essential equality of everything that appears within our own mind. That's the true oneness we're seeking, and it's the only oneness there is. There's absolutely no other oneness possible. Since the true nature of the mind is all-encompassing awareness, all phenomena, all circumstances, and all people in the world really exist only within our mind. So when we're established in the truth that all appearances are of the same indivisible essence, that is true oneness. Then it doesn't matter who we are, where we are, or who we're with. Wherever we are, it's absolutely equal. There are people who are in prison, facing execution, or being tortured, who are able to maintain complete equanimity even in those extreme circumstances. I've seen this in my own experience in a very traumatic situation. Even though the situation was such that the thoughts and emotions related to the event could have tortured me for the rest of my life, because I was able to rest, there was complete equanimity. Even in the case of a physical assault, ultimately the perpetrator, the victim, and the crime are all one, as there is no division anywhere. The unified field of awareness, which is our true identity and the true nature of all phenomena, remains unaffected by any event, no matter how horrific it might be. When you're in tune with that oneness, people may attack you and hurl insults at you, and you'll just stand there with a heart full of compassion. You'll be able to smile and know exactly how to respond in a way that is free of emotionally charged reactivity. At other times, you may do nothing. Who knows what will happen, but you'll know what to do, and whatever you do, it'll be an appropriate action. All appearances are outshone by the clear light of awareness. Establishment in that awareness provides the optimal power that a human being can ever have. It is this clear light of awareness that sees everything as one, as equal and even in all circumstances. Then there's a free flow of action that is really non-action, which pours from wisdom in an effortless way, manifesting as true compassion for all beings. When the ability to rest as awareness is gained by more people around the world, then increasingly humanity will be able to manifest the unity of all nations and peoples that we all long to see. But there's no need to wait for oneness. It's here right now. Short moments of awareness, repeated many times, become automatic.